It's over.
We're here at the Gate Theatre in the foyer for the very last performance here in Dublin of Sean O'Casey's Juno and the Paycock, and there's a long queue of people stretching up the stairs waiting for tickets, and you're first in the queue. How long have you been waiting?
I've been waiting here since 6:15, and
it's now 7:45.
It's getting close, yeah, to the finishing line here. I think they've already given away 3, so I'm next.
Are you optimistic you're going to get one?
Well, I hope so. I'm on my own, so...
Have you tried... Is this the first time you've tried to get a ticket for the show?
Yeah, I've been putting it on the long
finger. Why did you leave it to the very last night?
Well, I actually had a chance on Thursday, and I couldn't make it in. So, I mean, I really gave it away. So I'm determined now at the last... Last night.
What have you heard about the show over the last few months that makes you want to see it?
Oh, that's
it finishes?
Excellent. Excellent. Well worth seeing.
Was that
not
word of mouth?
Word of mouth. From everybody who's seen it.
I'd love to find 20 extra seats, 100 extra seats. We'd sell them all. In fact, tonight, a man came in with 10 extra seats just to sell. 10 people couldn't arrive, so that got rid of a lot of the queue. As you can see yourself, they're still right up the stairs.
No, you just come back a moment. You've got a ticket, yes?
I got my ticket, yes. Very
so
happy.
You're happy now?
Yeah.
Right,
excellent.
Hope you enjoy it.
Kiss me, said adieu. When the clouds roll by, I come to you. Then the skies will be more blue. Every tear will be a memory. So wait and pray each night for me. All together now, till we meet again.
Dr. Daly, alias John Kavanagh. You've just come off the last performance.
Yeah, the last one.
What's it been like?
It was a wonderful final night, I must say. A tremendous response at the end. I mean, it's a bit like being at Lansdowne Road. Yeah, it got really hot though, tonight. It was really
almost 100 performances or more?
I can't remember. Oh, yes, in total with the two runs, yeah. Yeah, it's been a tremendous experience, I must say. Wonderful. It's great to do. I mean, we're going to miss it now. Get withdrawal symptoms on Monday, probably.
But it's not really the end, because in 3 weeks you'll be in Jerusalem.
Jerusalem Festival, yes, an international festival. And now they're taking the set down. That's been shipped out now in the morning, because it'll take 3 weeks to get there by sea. So we do 4 performances there, and then we have another break, and then go to the Edinburgh Festival in August. And this June next year, 88, we have an invitation to the first New York Festival, which I think we're more than likely be going to.
Now, as you've gone through these performances, have you sort of been rethinking the part of
Well, Donal and I, we actually work very closely together, so we've never really stopped examining it and working on it, you know. And it's always kept alive, certainly, in that respect. We seldom talk of anything else. It's a wonderful, wonderful and refreshing experience, I must say. To work with somebody like Donald, I'm saying, and the rest of the cast, naturally. But to have an acting partner like him in that role, I mean, it's just fantastic. It's a highlight of my life, theatrical life, I'm going to say.
Maureen Potter, does it feel like last night?
No, not tonight. That's the strange thing. I mean, usually when I work in a show and it's the last night, you may never see some of the people you're working with again, like English acts and variety and panto and that. But you see, we're all meeting again in Jerusalem, you see, and it's great. So it's not like a last night. It is and it isn't, you know.
What's it been like, though, all these 100 or more performances?
It's been pretty...
For you on the legitimate stage again.
This is the first time I've ever appeared in The Gate, you know, and the first time I've ever done O'Casey. I didn't know the play very well. Well, it's been a revelation. It's been marvellous. I've thoroughly enjoyed myself. I did work some straight plays before, you know, with Siobhan. I did Arsenic, which was a great thrill, and with Michael McLeamore and his Cyril in Andrew Days and the Line and that. But this is something very special. But they're a great bunch, and I'm learning different things every night from O'Casey. I had no idea The man is the Shakespeare, you know. He has something for everybody.
What about Jerusalem now? Are you looking forward to it, or are you a little bit nervous about it?
I'm a little bit nervous, of course, yes. But I'm really looking forward to it. I'm wondering about the reactions. We're so used to the reactions of the Dubliner, you know. I'm just wondering where the laughs will come. And I believe there's instant translation or something.
That's right, into Hebrew, yes.
Yes, so that'll be another... It'd be odd, your voice speaking and them hearing something, somebody else's, you know.
More important in Hebrew.
In Hebrew, yes.
Captain Boyle, otherwise Donald McCann, the very last night. Mm. Almost the last night, but not really, because you'll be in Jerusalem in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But what's it been like, all these performances?
Great. Wonderful. This is these last 6 weeks. There's a place in there now, like Maggie Daly. Laughter has been, I think, bigger the last 6 weeks, which is great. But there are much, much more people coming around afterwards trying to pretend that they haven't been crying, which is... Well, we seem to have got the mixture. It has been a better show the last 6 weeks. I mean, it has grown in the interim, like any good thing will, you know.
What about your own performance since the beginning?
Oh, well, they creep up on you. Good. I mean, great writing or great drama. I mean, they stay with you. I'd be terrified to think, say, doing Godot again now in a while, how much of it would have... I mean, these writers don't leave you alone. You think they do, but they're actually working away, or God is working away. Somebody. The thing is maturing in there somewhere. If it's good in the first place, you think you've forgotten it and you go through... I mean, when I came back from... the Houston thing, I thought I'd never get in a week get back into doing it, and 2 days of total nervous panic nearly, and then suddenly just it was all back again.
And then opening in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I haven't an idea. What it'll be good for us is of course to it, I shouldn't say, but I mean it really will be the test of the play and the production, that we're not playing at home, so to speak, and that the niceties and the fine finessing of the Dublinism, well, I mean, it will have to continue because it's right, but to see, and I think we'll find automatically that we will... It'll just be very fascinating. We're obviously not going to get laughs on things that are local, but overall, I mean, the play should... is a great play, so I'm really looking forward to it with zest or a zestful sort of imagination. I don't know. I think it could be wonderful.
Joe Downing is the director of Juno and the Peacock. When did you begin, Joe, to get this show together?
Well, I suppose it was shortly after I directed... Blythe Spirit at the Gate, and Michael Colgan and I were talking about a possibility of doing another show, and I mentioned that I'd had this idea in my mind for a long time to do a Juno and the Peacock, which would perhaps be somewhat different from productions that have been done previously, but principally one which would bring together Donald McCann and John Kavanagh in the two roles. And Michael became enthusiastic very quickly, but it took us from that really until it opened, which was almost a year later, to put the whole production together between the various people. It was fairly quickly that the decision to cast Geraldine Plunkett and Maureen Potter followed on that, and once the four were in place, we knew we were all right. But it took about a year, to put the whole thing together, from the initial idea that had been sort of fermenting in my mind for some time, but the initial idea being discussed with Michael Colgan, to the point when it actually went on.
Did you see it as a play that had become perhaps a little hackneyed with the years and now needed a fresh approach?
I think it's one of the great plays of the century, not only in Irish canon but in world literature, because it combines so many different elements. But it's always struck me as a play which had become prettified by subsequent productions after the original. I mean, it had become a play which in some senses seemed to be about a family down on its luck, which just happened to be caught up in a civil war, and it always struck me that in many ways, O'Casey, in this particular play, was actually sowing the seeds for an awful lot of his later work and his later much more socialist approach to both politics and to the drama. And I think that it was all there in the play, but very often it had been prettified and been made sort of somewhat more middle class, perhaps, than the play actually was.
Trevor Dawson, how big an operation is this tonight?
It's a very big operation. We're having a 40-foot container arriving outside and a lorry, and we're going to dismantle all the set and take all the costumes and the props. There's over 300 props. There's a big set. And we're going to be packing it tonight, and it's going on a ship tomorrow morning. It's being carried by a group called Cairo Shipping, who are doing all the transport for us. And the set will be at sea for 3 weeks, and then we'll be going to the port in Israel and meeting it and transporting it then from the port into Jerusalem. But it's a very big operation, and it's been in planning stage for about 2 months. We've been completing large numbers of papers, as you can imagine, carnets to transport the stuff through the customs. Things like guns, for instance. You wouldn't believe the problems there is of carrying guns to Israel. and that has been a major headache, of course, taking three revolvers to, obviously a very difficult country.
The man who's responsible for this entire operation is the Gates artistic director, Michael Colgan. Are you supervising these operations tonight, Michael, shipping this set all the way to Ashdod?
Well, I'm not at all. I mean, we've got Trevor Dawson and Julian Erskine are doing that. But I think it's going to be a very big undertaking, because not only do we have Juno, as you know, going, but we've the Beckett show I'm going on as well, and we've got two sets and so many actors and so many backstage people, and we're going to a place where really we don't know a great deal about it. We don't know a great deal about their audiences. We have sent somebody out there in advance, and but we're greatly looking forward to it, simply because I think it'll be historic. It's the first time an Irish company have ever been to Jerusalem.
But the logistics of getting a show like this as far as Jerusalem are greater than for any other show you've taken away.
Oh, absolutely. The logistics are a nightmare because we, for example, one of the reasons the play did only 6 weeks here in Dublin on this run was because it's taken 3 to 4 weeks to get the set. It can't fit in the belly of a plane, so it had to be shipped. So the logistics of taking that also, Aer Lingus, for example, don't fly directly to Tel Aviv, and so we'll have to probably go through London. And also I found it a nightmare, and I'm still finding a nightmare trying to raise the money for Israel and trying to find sponsorship for it. I've been a bit disappointed about that, but I must say that the Cultural Relations Committee and the Department of Foreign Affairs have been very helpful, and they've always been very supportive, and if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be able to go.
May I have your attention, please, with the Gate Theatre Group travelling on Aer Lingus flight 158 to London Heathrow and onwards to Tel Aviv. Please proceed immediately to gate B27 for boarding.
But it proves to be a long journey from Dublin through Heathrow to Tel Aviv, delayed for more than half a day by an air traffic controller's strike. It's late at night when the company arrive at their hotel in the hills outside Jerusalem. Now it's next morning, and despite the jet lag, Michael Colgan calls his cast together in the Gerard Behar Theatre.
We go from 2 o'clock tomorrow. We'll have from 2 until about 6 o'clock. And then Rupert will probably need... Will that be all right for you, Rupert? But if went from 2 till 6...
Well, assuming that some of a considerable amount of plotting is done.
Yeah. Okay. And then Rupert will have to go back in at 6 until 9 or half 8 or whatever it is to get it finished. Okay, now the big problem is, A, what we do for the rest of the day. Do you want to do a line call?
Yeah, immediately.
And the second thing is... tomorrow, whether we want to go out at that time and get food, or do you want food to be brought in? That's the question.
But if there's a whole lot of places near.
Yeah, the question is keeping everybody together or whatever. But apparently there's lots of restaurants and hamburgers and places around it. Okay, now, just a final check. There seems to be... Did anybody find the socks?
No.
No.
I have one pair of socks.
No. Joe?
No, I didn't see them.
Okay, so that's something maybe that the wardrobe lady could look out for.
The moment has almost arrived. It's now just after 8 o'clock on a warm June evening in Jerusalem, outside the theatre, which is the Gerard Bechar Theatre. This is the building which has a certain historical significance. It's the place where the trial of the notorious Adolf Eichmann took place. And like the scene at the Gate Theatre on the last night of Juno and the Peacock, here on the first night of Juno and the Peacock in Jerusalem, the queues are already forming. And the first man in the queue has come all the way from Northern Galilee.
Yeah, I've come down from the Upper Galilee. I live on a kibbutz there, and I very much hope to get a ticket here, which I've not been able to do yet. I've been in Israel about 20 years. I came from England. And one of the things which I've been doing in the past is running a folk club with a lot of Irish music and English music. And I'm especially interested in Irish music and things Irish. I find that I think we share somewhat a common background of trials and tribulations.
How did you hear about the play? How did you know it was going on?
We received a catalogue of all the plays about 3 months ago. Tickets apparently have been sold out for some time. I find it difficult to get down here because of my work. Suddenly it was possible to get down, so I came down here and in the hope of getting in.
You have seen O'Casey here before, have you?
Yeah, we have seen.
But not in Hebrew, not in English.
That's right. I saw it in Hebrew. And
What play did you see?
The Plough and the Stars, right? One of my friends played the Illand Pipes, actually, for it. Yeah, and I very much want to see this. I've read it in the past.
If you don't get a seat, will you be very disappointed?
I will be extremely disappointed. I'll wail and tear my hair and gnash my teeth.
In the foyer of the theatre here, the President of Israel, Chaim Herzog, has arrived, and the Irish Ambassador, Charles Whelan. There are some Irish expatriates here. There are hundreds of Israeli theatre-goers. And there are even Irish troops on leave from the Lebanon. The lights are going down and the curtain is about to rise.
Come in, come in. Mrs. Madigan, I was afraid you weren't coming.
Oh, no.
Oh, we got some people able to dress, eh,
Joseph? Oh, fair as the blossoms that bloom in the May and sweet as the scent of the new mown hay, and well may she wear them.
And I know some as are sweet as the blossoms that bloom in the May. Oh, no names, no pack thrill.
Well, now I'll introduce you to Mary's intended, Mr. Bentham. This is Mrs. Madigan, an old front parlour neighbour who, if she could help it at all, would never see a body shook.
Ah, very glad to know you, Mrs. Madigan. How are you?
And this is just...
And I'm going to tell you, Mr. Bentham, that you're going to get as nice a piece of skirt in Mary there as ever you've seen in your pup. Not like some of them dressed up dolls that's knocking about looking for men when it's a scalping they want. I remember as well as I remember yesterday, the day she was born. If a Tuesday, 25th of June in the year 1901, at 33 minutes past one before his clock, the pub at the corner of the street. A cold day it was, too, for the season of the year. And I remember saying to Joxer there, who I met coming up the stairs, that that new arrival at Boyle's would grow up a hardy chiseler, if it lived, and that she'd be something one of these days that nobody suspected. And so, signs on it, here she is today, going to be married to a young man, looking as if he'd be fit to commensurate in any position in life it had pleased God to call him.
Sit down, Mrs. Madigan. Hmm? Sit down, the old sport.
Oh, thank you.
Now, this is Joxer Daly, past chief ranger of the dear little Shamrock branch of the Irish National Foresters. An old backtop neighbour who never despaired, not even in the darkest hour of Ireland's sorrow.
Neil Desperandum, Captain, Neil Desperandum.
Sit down, yeah. Joxer.
In a box high above the auditorium, three actors are simultaneously translating the dialogue into Hebrew, and many members of the audience are listening to this translation on earphones.
Sit down, Jack. I've something to say to you about Mary.
About Mary.
Close that door here and sit down here.
What is it?
חשבתי שאת הולכת ללכת.
זה הסיבה שאתה נמצא איתי עכשיו במצב שאתה נמצא בו. אתה לא מסוגל, אתה יודע מה קורה.
No, it's not consumption. It's wars.
Wars? Well, then we'll have to get out to some place out here. There's nobody here to mind that.
Curtain is down to rapturous applause, and that slow hand clap is the Israeli way of saying we approve.
As the applause for the play dies down, we meet the guest of honour for the evening, President Chaim Herzog. He grew up in Dublin and he knows the plays of Sean O'Casey.
It was a play, it's understandable. The whole atmosphere and of the period was of the revolution and the civil war is terribly familiar here.
It's something people would know about.
A lot, it's something they know about, and the problems that arose as a result of it. In other words, Sean O'Casey really speaks to the public here in his various plays. And I think you'll see it'll be very, very well received here indeed.
They will see paralleled, in other words.
There are many parallels here. For instance, I remember Shadow of a Gunman really was so brought situations here during the British Mandate alive for us, with everybody thinking that there's somebody else is a very, very important person in the underground and so forth. And the situations that were created that way. There's a lot of similarity in that period with the period we had before 1948 and, of course, during the War of Independence and so forth.
You say you've seen other O'Casey plays here, but in Hebrew, of course. Are you an O'Casey fan, as it were?
I think he's a very great playwright, really great. I think he's one of the great playwrights of Ireland. And he was so topical, and he expressed the problems that emerged at the time. I don't think we've had anybody quite in his class here, although we have some very good playwrights. But to express the situation that was created at that time, I don't think we've had that much.
The other important point is, of course, this is an Irish company bringing an Irish play to Israel. How important do you see this
as? It's very
as?
Authentic. You can feel it's authentic. The acting is superb. And it's very, very important because it's another link in the growing chain of links between Israel and Ireland, which I think I've tried anyway to contribute.
One person has come all the way from Dublin to see this show. She's a Ukrainian poet.
Russian Ukrainian
poet, Mary Dodaiva. Why did you come all the way?
I couldn't see June and Peacock in Ireland sometimes before I was busy, but then when I tried so hard, it still I couldn't see it. And it was very interesting as well to see for me the reaction of other audiences in their reaction to the Irish theatre. And somehow it seems it was worthwhile trying to see it because it's so extraordinary, I believe, for the Irish audiences, for the Irish theatre to feel what happens with other people, how they respond. I believe it's a wonderful experience. And also I read what Michael Colgan said in the Irish press about the prestigious Jerusalem Festival, and I felt that I would like to be a part of it, because he felt so strongly about it, and I believe in his feelings for the theatre and his dedication.
Has it been worth the trip?
Oh, yes. I believe still it's many other things will be coming yet, because the house is full and people really enjoy it. I was very curious to find out about their reactions, and they seem to enjoy it very much. And there are so many similarities about certain things in the history of Jewish people and Irish people, this type of sadness.
Julian Erskine, who has put the set together, The first night is over now. Was it a problem the last 2 days?
Well, it was not so much a problem, but it was very long and intensive. I mean, I haven't slept now since 8 o'clock yesterday morning. We went right through continuously to get it ready for tonight. I think when I met you last in the gate when we were taking it down, I said to you that it wasn't built for touring, and we paid the price for it here. I mean, it took a long, hard battle to get it up. We were using local help, so we had the language problem, trying to explain what we wanted. And there was the carpenter from the gate, Freddie West, came out here, which was what saved us, I think, because we had one person there with me who knew how it went together. But, I mean, we did it just by sticking to it and going at it continuously. It's up, it looks well, it's there. But, I mean, it's only after a lot of work. I think the value of the set, because it is such a good set, I mean, visually, is that it's brought to foreigners an idea of how a house in Dublin would have been at the time. They had no concept whatsoever of those sort of timber floors and the Georgian windows and the shutters and things like that, the detail on the set. And I think it's helped the play work as well as it has done tonight.
Michael Coveney is the critic of the Financial Times. He's arrived in Jerusalem from London and has seen a performance.
They know this play here very well. It has been performed in the Camry Theatre. I think the appearance of an Irish company doing it in Israel for the first time is very, very important and very enriching. We heard the applause there this afternoon. It was a fantastic experience. O'Casey's a writer, I don't have to tell you, of tears and laughter. This production has them in an incredibly vivid and vital way, in the very best traditions, and I did mean tradition in a dead sense of the word, of the Irish theatre. I think the moment, the juxtaposition of the If You're Irish, Come Into the Parlour, with the funeral procession and the Irish hymn of Sacred Heart of Jesus, I'll lay down my life and die for the Sacred Heart of Jesus. This is religion as a cause for people to throw away their lives, and this is, of course, the continuing tragedy in Northern Ireland and in Israel. There is a fundamental to the political problems in both countries, a religious indoctrination, a religious heritage, and this has caused the problems. And O'Casey writes about this 60 years ago. I've just spoken to one of the leading journalists in Israel. I cannot tell her name. She's married to one of the leading actors at the Camry Theatre. They are choked by this play. They are in tears with the play, and they were very, very moved indeed.
You've seen, presumably, numerous productions of Juno. How does this one compare?
It's fantastic. We had a very good production in England many years ago with Colin Blakely as Captain Boyle. I haven't seen the play for some time, and it's as good a production as I've seen. And to see the Gate Theatre of Dublin in Jerusalem will be an experience that I'll remember, I think.
Israeli. Shalom. Those of you who know Jerusalem are quite aware that it has seven gates. There's the Jaffa Gate, the Damascus Gate, the St. Stephen's Gate. I can't remember the rest. But now there's an eighth one, it's the Dublin Gate.
Charles Whelan is Ireland's ambassador to Israel. He's the guest of honour at a party given for the Gate Company by the Ireland-Israel Friendship League.
And as Jerusalem has attracted people from all over the world, no matter what their religion, no matter what their views are, so the Gate Theatre Company of Dublin is attracting so many people that it is sold out here. Now, Barry McGovern presented this marvellous interpretation of Beckett before a full house last night. And I believe that tickets are just not available, or if they are, they're going like hotcakes for Juno.
Oded Cutler is the artistic director of the festival and the man who first saw Juno and the Peacock in Dublin at the Gate. How did that come about?
It was one of the beautiful evenings in the theatre that I've had for a long time, especially when I love so much O'Casey, and I thought for a long time that I would love to see and to experience an Irish production rather than British or English, or even Israeli, the one I myself did once. So that was for me an example of how to do it. authentic, real, realistic, without indicating so much some of the social and political, historical background. And I loved it, and I decided to bring it over. That's the story about how June and the Peacock was brought about.
And briefly, were there any hiccups along the way?
You know something, I mean, this is one of those things that always happen. I mean, you have it's a big theater with quite elaborate set, and it's not one piece, two pieces, I'll go on and that, and the number of workers, technicians, lighting people, actors, the question of money, the costs, the fee that the theater is being paid is not enough. You have to get more. The housing and the per diem is not enough, so you have to get some more from both sides. And I know the Gate has gone through an enormous effort to do that, and I had to raise money for that, and it's not the easiest thing to do. We had all that, you know, in the process of bringing the Gate over to Jerusalem, but we somehow, with both sides, I believe, managed, and finally they're here, and I think we are celebrating their visit here, and there's a big appreciation and enthusiasm about this work.
John Kavanagh, you were looking forward to this when we last talked in the dressing room at the Gate Theatre. Now, so many days later, how does it seem?
In retrospection. Good Lord. Yeah. We were looking forward to the adventure and to taking the play out, you know, the shows in other cities to a totally different type of audience. It hasn't been easy, you know. The heat has been particularly oppressive, I found. You know, it's been a bit of a battle in this climate. We've been getting up to 92 degrees even during the evening's performance. But I think nevertheless, it's been really worthwhile. The response has been wonderful, I think. And the one of our interpreters, Ariel, was telling me that we had got the best reviews in the festival, which I thought was really heartening. The response at the end was particularly uplifting, and the slow, we thought it was a slow hand clap, but I knew it wasn't. It was something that's reserved for very special occasions. It's not a slow hand clap at all. It's a slower clap. It's a different tempo to a slow hand clap, but it's a real sign of appreciation.
Five performances, Maureen Potter as Maisie Madigan in Jerusalem. What's it been like?
Oh, the heat, Mrs. The heat. It's been a marvellous experience. It's a really wonderful, wonderful experience. Extraordinary, extraordinary city. We managed. I don't go out very much. I didn't get out very much because when I'm working, I start thinking about the play at lunchtime. You see, and if I'm away from the far away from the theatre where it gets near theatre time, I'm like a cat on a hot tin roof. But we did manage to go to Bethlehem and the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which is really extraordinary, marvellous experience. And of course the old city, like Aladdin's Cave, with all those lovely, all those little holes with gorgeous jewellery and leather and carpets and everything. It was most exciting. We were walking along there one day, and I don't know whether you were with us or not, but a bunch of us were walking along one day. Maybe Pauline, Delaney and Jerry, Mehmet Plunkett and myself and that, and Jack, my husband. And we were passing a man sitting on a cushion trying to sell something, he said, "Filthy English fish and chips." So Jack turned back and said, "No, dirty Irish bacon and cabbage."
Off stage, when you've been able to get out of your Joxer makeup, how much of Jerusalem have you been able to see?
Very little, very little. I went to Bethlehem one day, and another day we went to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre to see the place where the cross was placed. I particularly wanted to see that because my son, before I left, particularly asked me for a picture of it, and I never thought he would have requested something like that, and so I got one, and so I have it for him to bring back to him. And I thought that was um, that there was an interesting thought, you know, for him to request that. I mean, normally children might be asking you to bring back this, that, or the other, a toy, perhaps. It was just something about it struck me.
I did notice, though, the civilian guides were very excellent, you know, but I noticed a lack of any Catholic presence in the Holy Sepulchre, which is, you know, any sort of Catholic presence, which is most unusual. But maybe if you went now on a pilgrimage, a religious pilgrimage, it would be a different thing. But we were just sort of actors, you know, just that it was very interesting.
You were on a theatrical pilgrimage.
In a theatrical pilgrimage. It was lovely at night in the centre. It wasn't a theatre that we worked in. This is what we found out. It was a centre, a conference centre. And there was a huge room up at the top where you could look out at night over the city, which it was absolutely magnificent. But it was strange to see the Hilton, the Jerusalem Hilton, built on the Mount of Olives, I think, you know.
The tour is over and it's time for the long journey home. The gate company are at the airport at Tel Aviv. Joe Savino was Johnny in the play. How had he spent his time in Jerusalem?
Well, I managed to see the old city of Jerusalem. That was something else. That was great. I chickened out on the Dead Sea business and gone to Masada and all that because they told me it was going to be very, very hot down there. And the heat in Jerusalem was enough for me where we were. I mean, I spent a lot of time indoors, into the pool, out of the pool, into the pool, out of the pool, because it was just so hot. And I'm not a good... I don't worship the sun, and I don't get on well with it at all. I prefer to go indoors when it comes out. But it took me unawares. I just wasn't ready for it. I wasn't ready for the heat. It just killed me altogether. So I kind of... I had to stay away from it, you know, it was too much for me.
Is it true that you played in a downtown Jerusalem piano bar?
Oh, yes. Well, myself and Anton Nolan, the mobiliser, we reckoned about the fourth day in Jerusalem when we began to, I don't know whether we woke up or sobered up, it was one or the other, and we began to, I mean, the hotel was so far, the show was finishing at 12 at night, or 12:15 or whatever, so most things were closed, and so we found this bar that had a piano in it, and we didn't find that until the fourth night. So it was a question of when we saw the piano, I kind of took one look at it. I'm one of these people who, if I go into a strange place and there's a piano there, the first thing I want to know is, does it work? And if it works, can anybody play it? And if that's okay, well then, so myself and Anto sat down and delivered the goods and sat there till I don't know what time we left the place, and I can't remember. It's all a haze to me, you know. We left the place at. It was late, or it was early.
Did they ask you back?
Oh, yes. They said, you come back here. Will you? How long are you staying? And I said, oh, we're flying out on Tuesday. Oh, no. You must come here. I'll give you a job. You want a job, 50 shekels a night, no problem. I said, no, theatre company, must go. Plane to catch. No, you stay in Jerusalem. You play here every night, 50 shekels. No, have to go. Yes, the British must go home. No, we're Irish, Ireland. Oh, Irlande, great, you come back again. Oh, yes, back next year. Yes, indeed. Oh.
On the flight home from Tel Aviv, Juno's had a good lunch. Geraldine Plunkett, what has the tour been like for you?
The tour has been marvellous, really, from the point of view of the reception. The play went very, very well, and I think, you know, we did it quite well. We were all quite up, if that's the word. But it's been very, very hard work because of the temperature and the extremes of climate and the costumes being so heavy. And also the fact that both Donal and I, our voices, we did a little bit of problems due to the contrast between the heat of the climate, the sweating of the costumes, and then the air conditioning. You know, the specialist told us actually that this very often was a problem with people who weren't used to the climate. But I mean, we managed, it wasn't too bad. The reception was fantastic. I mean, the Israelis in their own way sort of got the humour. I mean, obviously it didn't get the huge laughs that it did in Dublin, but it got the humour, and we really had a great trip. But we feel as if we've done 12 performances instead of 5 because of the extra hard work it was. You know, but very, really very rewarding and gratifying.
The curtain has come down on the final performance of June and the Peacock. Michael Colgan, at the end of the journey now, was it worth it?
Oh, infinitely. I mean,
remember, we brought two shows here, I'll Go On and Juno and the Paycock, and the impression they've made, and I think we've done a very good job for Irish theatre in spreading the word. Irish theatre has got to go to more of these festivals, and we've had a fantastic response. I mean, every night the applause was better than in the gate, and it was very interesting for them to want the play to be more relevant in Northern Ireland. It was very interesting for them to work with actors, the simultaneous translation people. That mingling was incredible. But all in all, I think that the bridging the culture gaps and trying to bridge the culture gaps, it's been fantastic, a memorable experience and well worth it.
You had problems inevitably bringing a play like this so far afield. All these were overcome.
Oh, they were. There was a great deal of problems in doing it. And, you know, the old Chinese saying, if you stop every time you hear a dog bark, you'll never get to the end of the road. And I think that something that's worth it is often, you know, causes the most pain. There were problems, and I've always known there are problems. There are problems in festivals, because I've done six of them myself. But, you know, it was well worth it.
Sometimes I just look up at the sky and I'd ask myself the question, what is the stars? What is the stars?
Yeah, that's the question. That's the question. What is the stars?
Then the skies will be more blue. Down in Lover's Lane, my dearie, her wedding bells will ring so merrily. Every tear will be a memory. So wait and pray each night for me.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.